Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But, you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. San Juan Regional Medical Center is your community hospital, committed to making life better for the communities we are privileged to serve. In fact, better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. What matters most to our patients matters most to us. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so you can get the quality care you need right here at home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, celebrating life better here since 1910. Minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Monday morning, the 17th day of October 2022. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air here in San Juan County, New Mexico. In Durango, Colorado, of course, you can tune us in at 103.3 FM, and anywhere else on the planet, you can listen to us from our website, of course, ksje.com. Or guess what? You can ask your smart speaker to play KSJE, and it'll do that too. Also, welcome to our viewers who are joining us watching this visual radio program. The program is streaming live this morning to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. So welcome aboard, everyone. Glad that you are with us. Coming up in the next few moments, I am joined by the mayor of Farmington. Nate Duckett is my guest this morning. We'll begin our conversation in the next few moments right here on KSJE. Then later on this hour, we'll be checking on technology news with my guest Lewis Campbell from Synergy Computer Systems. That you will hear at 8:50 a.m. on KSJE. Don't forget to join Mick Hess next hour, our classical music program, 9:06 on KSJE. And if you're an Instagram person, you can connect with us on our Instagram page in addition to Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And if you're a podcast person, and who is it these days, you can subscribe for free to KSJE podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts, places like iTunes and Spotify and iHeartRadio and Google Podcasts and Pandora. Just search for KSJE and we will pop right up with maybe a program that you may have missed recently. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it is partly sunny this morning, 42 degrees at the moment. We're expecting a partly sunny day today with a high of 62 degrees, clear and 40 overnight, warming up tomorrow to 67 with sunshine on Tuesday, sunshine and 70 degrees for a high on Wednesday and Thursday, and overnight lows right near 40 degrees or maybe even the upper 30s before another chance of showers come in Saturday night and Sunday night this weekend. Well, let me introduce my guest who is here with me this morning, the mayor of Farmington. Always great to have him here in the studio with me, Mayor Nate Duckett. Mayor, good morning.
Scott, good morning. Thanks for having me.
You
good morning
bet, sir.
To all your viewers and listeners.
Thank you for coming in. It's good to have you here.
Yeah.
You're a busy guy. Lots of stuff going on that we'll talk about.
Absolutely. It's a busy time of year for this community,
for sure. It is, and things are getting cooler, and so people are enjoying the fall weather.
Yeah, I'm looking at the 10-day weather here, and I'm thinking, well, Saturday is going to be 68 degrees, and you're like, wow, it was only like 4 weeks ago, you know, we're talking 80 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Now we've dropped.
That's true.
All the way down to a high of 68. So it's a great time of year. I think these are one of the reasons why you enjoy living in the Four Corners.
That's true.
It's for the fall.
Got the windows open and, you know,
all day
the breeze
long.
Is coming through and it's great. It's great. But I want to ask you about some changes going on, too, in the area, which, of
sure.
course, is a San Juan Generating Station. And the city of Farmington is a big player, part owner of that facility. Has been talking about taking that over with a partner that the city is working with, Enchant Energy, to continue operations at that plant and
sure.
save jobs at that plant and maybe put in some new technology that would make that plant the cleanest burning coal plant ever, I think, if I remember correctly.
That is,
you know,
correct, yeah.
And so I wanted to ask you for an update about that, because since we last talked, the plant has shut down. Those workers, that jobs we were trying to save, have been let go, and the Associated Mine, same thing, right? It's kind of shutting down. They've got folks there planning to close it up, and all those things are happening. And so my question is, what's new?
What's going new right on? Now is the city of Farmington has filed for arbitration with P&M. So
to get ownership of
within
that,
the ownership agreements. Is that the idea? Yeah, within the ownership agreement, there's a couple different parts. That one part P&M is operating under, and another part that we've been operating under for the last 4 years, where that transfer of ownership rights exist. So, up to this point, I would just be very honest. I mean, there's P&M has not wanted to keep that plan open, so they've not worked well with us in that regard, and that's unfortunate. Obviously, our plan, our goal here is kind of the win-win-win scenario of maintaining local tax base, high-paying jobs, which of course impact all the service jobs associated with that, and to keep the power going. That grid stability, energy stability, redundancies in the different energy forms that we are using right now, I think that picture is becoming more clear every single day as we look across the globe at things that are happening. We can't expect to put all of our eggs into one basket. And in this situation, it was a replacement power that was supposed to be built for this power plant, which is not, you know, none of that's broken ground yet. So yes, we want to make, and we have all those unappreciated assets for Farmington Electric Utility customers that are in the plant still. And we have guaranteed low rates when that plant operates. Right now we're paying three times as much for power as what we were able to produce power for out of that power plant. So a lot of reasons why we're gone through this process. Obviously, the timeline that we set out in 2018, there's been a number of things that have occurred between now and then that has thrown that off. But what I can say is Enchant Energy continues to work every single day. And this is not just me making this statement. This is a true fact. I was on a phone call with my brother-in-law in Houston, who's with a guy who works for a company, who literally told me, hey man, he's on a call right now with Enchant Energy. So to get that kind of feedback from, you know, a place not, you know, I didn't expect it, just tells me that they're continuing to push. Of course, the federal government has provided substantial amounts of dollars for these carbon capture programs. They, of course, Enchant has been very keen on that and trying to take advantage of all those opportunities. The big hurdles that we've had to try and overcome are the ETA, Energy Transition Act, and P&M. So those two things are obviously still in play. We're continuing to work, and hopefully we'll get something through this arbitration and get things moving forward.
Got you. And I know we're at arbitration now only after the city, I think, filed a lawsuit for this issue, and now both sides agreed to go to arbitration.
Well, we had to get a stay order, Scott, because P&M was selling pieces of the plant without approval to do so. So, yeah, there's been a couple things that have happened here recently that
gotcha.
We're trying to work through.
But a lot of folks may be saying if the plant is being shut down and the workers are already been let go, how feasible is it to then try to reconstitute the plant with Enchant, your partner?
Extremely feasible.
But those workers are gone, and there are some parts of shutting down a plant that you can't just
power plants being shut down all over the place. There's a lot of expertise out there in the world right now looking for opportunities to continue working in that.
So the workers are there. You're confident that you could find these people either if they're still in the community, great. If they need to move to the community, even better. But in the plant that's being shut down could be reconstituted to fire back up and produce energy in the future.
Absolutely.
And it wouldn't be a big expense to do
that. Oh, it's a big expense.
Oh, okay.
That's a big expense.
All right.
Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, there's a lot of work that would need to be done, obviously, over the lifespan of that plant. And as you get towards the end of it, of what the plant shutdown was, there are things that are allowed to let go that you don't maintain that, of course, you're going to have to put money back into in order to keep it operational. All that's been calculated and is accounted for within kind of the strategy of Enchant. So.
And that's where I think some folks are concerned, too, is the expense then go to the city or goes to Enchant? Because Enchant. I think folks are concerned that the city might be left on the hook for...
Well, we've talked about it on your show many, many times.
Okay.
The city's role here is to make sure that it maintains its solidarity within its electric utility to provide low-cost power.
Right.
That's our part that we play in this. Right now, the money that has been spent by the city is less than $2 million, and it's been in lawyer fees. So we have not spent any other money, and there was no plan for the city to spend any other money in that power plant. All of that is in the chance realm and their plants.
Gotcha. But, and I know you said that before, and I appreciate you repeating.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's worth repeating for folks maybe who forget what the city's stake is in all this. And that
absolutely.
I think there are a lot of folks, and you probably can understand why folks could be concerned that the city could be left holding the bag.
I could be concerned if I wasn't repeating it all the time.
All right.
That's not that. One of the key things for us, obviously, is elected officials. And even within the organization of the city of Farmington. And I'll credit Rob Mays and Jennifer Bickell and Hank Adair for the job that they do. we don't want the liability of running that plant. We don't want the liability associated with any of those things. We want to make sure that Enchant comes in and has the ability to take it over. They're going to take the expenses. They're going to do their what they have to do. We don't want to be a part of that. There is scenarios that exist where we could have more play in that. But right now, that's not something that we're interested in doing. And I know this council doesn't want to risk anything for this for the city in general to commit dollars in that regard.
And the idea, just help me here understand, the idea why Enchant would want the that access to that liability is because of the potential profits they can make by operating this future carbon capture plant. Is that kind of the risk?
Oh, absolutely.
Associated the demand with this for power, why they would do that?
Yeah, the demand for power is there. There are off-takers who want those megawatts. So the demand for power is there. The federal dollars going into carbon sequestration technologies and seeing those operations actually come to fruition is there. So that's their goal. Now, remember, their initial goal was to pipeline CO2 down to the Permian Basin, which is still in play, but much more that's transitioned to sequestration of CO2 in the ground.
Right.
Which plays into kind of the hydrogen hub, kind of strategy that's being worked out here as San Juan County becomes a potential area where the federal government would invest into those new technologies as well.
Right. Understood all that.
Yeah. And they need carbon. They need carbon sequestration also.
Right. And so the studies that are being done show that can be happening. The property that's been designated would be a good site for that. Or do they need to find other locations for this sequestration part of this plan?
Yeah, they're working on that. New Mexico Tech got a grant for those things to kind of drill those test wells.
Right.
That work is being done also.
Got you. And again, you were talking about Enchant, the partner, the city's partner with this, and that they are moving forward with some of their plans. And of course, we know the timelines have been kind of delayed, a global pandemic notwithstanding, but I'm sure that has something to do with it, supply chain issues. That's also part of the problem with the replacement power from PNM, and all this comes back to the Farmington Electric Utility saying our energy costs are going to go up. We really can't help that at the moment.
Everybody's energy costs are going to go up with this plant shutting down.
Right.
That's a fact.
PNM, Farmington, everybody.
Oh, everybody. Anybody who's associated with buying power off the grid when there's less megawatts of power available, so the supply is down, the demand has not changed. That demand still remains high. And with current pushes for electronic vehicles, those things, that demand is even going to be higher. Colorado's no longer allowing natural gas appliances to be put into new residential buildings. That just means demand for power is going to be higher. So you're going to have more demand out there. The costs are going to go up.
Gotcha. And from the city standpoint, because the city owns its electric utility, which has provided low-cost, reliable power for decades,
right?
The goal there is to continue to try and do that. Are there any other plans on the city's spreadsheet, to try to expand maybe natural gas generation or adding some solar to the mix?
Yeah, we just completed our integrated resource plan, which we do every 4 or 5 years. Within that plan, we permitted now, council approved the permitting process to build a 20-megawatt reciprocating engine natural gas power. So that will provide 20 megawatts. The San Juan Generating Station is 43 megawatts, just to get an idea of how much that power, the chunk of the pie that's associated with that power plant. Bluffview, I believe, is about 63 megawatts of power. And then we also have the Navajo Dam hydro plant. And then we have power purchase agreements through WAPA, which gets hydropower from Lake Powell. And there are a number of other kind of power plans going on right now. There's groups looking at building solar. There's groups that are looking at building additional natural gas fire power also. So we're keeping very close in touch with all of them.
Gotcha. Very good. I want to change subjects a little bit with you, Mr. Mayor, and ask you a bit about gasoline prices. And a lot of folks thought you were very proactive in writing a letter to the state attorney general about the gas prices that appear in the Farmington area to always be higher than anywhere else in the state. And there's been a lot of reporting about that, a lot of public posting about that on social media. And it seems to be true that for some reason, our area has the higher gas prices on average than other parts of the state. And you wrote to the attorney general and you got a response back, I think, and you're still waiting for maybe more.
You know, if there was a good investigative journalist here in the city of Farmington, that would be a really good story for them to dive into and learn about the history and the things that I have learned since going into this, and I hate to say I was being proactive, I was really being reactive. People here were upset.
Right.
I mean, and when you drive to Albuquerque and it's $1.30 less per gallon, you're sitting there shaking your head. You go towards Gallup, you go down towards Gallup, gas prices were less expensive. People were obviously concerned. And so, I just reached out to his office, got an opportunity to speak with him and said, hey, we're really concerned of why prices remain so elevated here in our area where we've seen them drop off so far in Albuquerque. And as I understand it, a majority of the fuel that's provided to San Juan County comes from Albuquerque and the hubs associated with it. So I've talked to a number of dealers.
I bet you have.
Yeah, it's been really interesting what I have learned. And historically speaking, I've had a gentleman in Texas who works for a very large convenience store, gas station company, and said, well, everybody knows San Juan County is the place where you can get high margins for your gasoline. Everybody knows that. And that's probably paraphrasing quite a bit of the language.
Sounds like a dirty little secret.
Right, which we've all been aware of. I felt compelled at least to ask the question. I mean, price gouging. What is price gouging? What does the Attorney General's office consider price gouging? And I was interested to see that they responded, sent a letter to Speedway, which you may have seen this now. Within our Speedways, we're getting rebranded as the actual true 7-Elevens, like the international 7-Eleven group, which also is a part of a Marathon. And Marathon Oil and Gas remains one of the largest providers, if not, it is the majority provider of fuel here in San Juan County. And they control the oil that comes in El Paso. They control the refinery of that. They control the shipping of that, the pipelines of that. They have the single stream, basically.
Right. That company, yeah.
And they control those prices. There are a few local small dealers here. But the majority of that is coming directly from Marathon. So it was interesting to see, at least in the outcome, over those few weeks after that, that, our prices kind of went down. And if you went to Albuquerque, their prices were kind of coming up. And so I felt like, well, maybe what they decided is, okay, we should go down a little bit in San Juan County. Albuquerque could probably come up a little more. But, there's a big difference, Scott, when you're dealing with, the number of gas stations in a metro area like Albuquerque. The margins that those individuals are getting per gallon are, what I've been told, no expert in this, are more like 5 cents per gallon. Mm-hmm. Well, up here, they're getting over 20 cents per gallon. So that's just the margins of the retailers.
Right. And I guess from the Attorney General's standpoint, I mean, is he looking into this potential price gouging? I mean, might we see some activity from that office, or is it not enough to trigger some of those legal enforcements?
Well, my communication with them, after following up with them 3 or 4 times, I stopped following up with them.
So you haven't heard back?
Well, no. I mean, and the responses were, we're investigating it. Thank you for your patience and, whatever the case may be. But I was impressed. At least they wrote the letter, which I found interesting.
To the other dealers, right? To Marathon.
To Speedway, yeah, essentially. Right. And then they did say they were going to further that along to Marathon.
Okay. All right. But interesting.
Yeah.
And I take your comment about investigative reporting with a grain of salt. I think it would be great.
It's a really interesting story. The history involved there, the players who've been involved in it, and how that's really shifted when you had refineries in our area that have all shut down. I mean, the closest refineries for us are I believe in Artesia, Alamogordo, something like that, and then El Paso.
And none of those are close.
And those two aren't. Yeah, those two are open.
Right.
And that they believe, what I've been told, again, this is all hearsay.
Yeah.
Is that the majority of that flows through El Paso to Albuquerque to us. Now, there is somewhat, so people have talked about Durango. Why is Durango so much less expensive? Well, some of that's driven by the fact that they've had a new retailer open up there called Maverick, which Maverick is also going to be opening up here in Farmington. Maverick, like most new companies when they enter an area, want to create raving fans for their products.
Right.
And so they've kept prices
relatively low. Maybe a loss leader kind of a thing.
Yep, keep it low. Get everybody in, get them all their little key cards, get them signed up on their savings plans, and then you probably see that normalize. But there's a Maverick coming to Farmington. I guess we'll see if that strategy plays out
right, in that
way.
Right. Okay.
But
interesting. And interesting from what you appear to have learned that perhaps this area has been a profit center for some of these companies for a while when it comes to gasoline.
No, it's exactly what's been reiterated to me.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Appreciate that. Another thing I wanted to ask you about, Mr. Mayor, is a major, major project, major road project, major investment in state money, probably some federal money in that too, sure. I would think, maybe some COVID money for the Pinyon Hills Bridge, which we've been talking about. And I had Mr. Cipher on talking about that for decades as well. When I got here, one of the first things we talked about was maybe trying to extend Pinyon Hills Boulevard across the river to the south and up onto Crouch Mesa. And it's been on the plans for a while. And here it's going to happen. Apparently, the money's in place and shovel ready, as they say.
So we had a very good public meeting last week where we kind of described what this plan looks like, and had a great turnout, great questions from individuals who live on both sides of where that road is going to be. Obviously very sensitive areas and sensitive to a new thoroughfare through there. But the big benefit, of course, for our greater San Juan County area is just the improvement of the commutes, the transportation areas. An additional bridge over the Animas, again, just provides ample opportunities for people to more easily come across from Crouch Mesa, Bloomfield, and those areas and come across the county.
So the east side of town, basically, is what we're talking about, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think any of us really thought it was going to happen as we kept seeing the price of this project grow. I think, I'll just tell you this. In August, it was August 27th, 1999, was the very first meeting regarding Pinyon Hills Bridge extension. So that's how long it's been.
You remember
been.
That distinctly, well, apparently.
No, we looked it up. Oh, okay. We had to go back and see, you know, sure. When exactly.
How long have we talked about this?
But now to see, you know, obviously it's federal dollars flowing in through the state. The state's then picked this project as one of their key projects. It's been on the top of the capital improvement plans for both the city and the county for 2 decades. And, you know, you get that additional crossing of the river. You're going to be able to improve the emergency response times going up into Crouch Mesa area. There's going to be openings and opportunities for residential and commercial real estate, you know,
right,
buildings
along that corridor,
and all
I
new
suppose,
corridors.
Right.
And I think it just, you know, cities that are growing and thriving, they're building bridges. They're building new roads. And those are the kind of things that, you know, I think everybody should take heed of, that we're a community that is on the rise.
And this is something, though, that I don't think the city could have done on its own, or it would take a very long time to do a project of this magnitude on its own, even with the county's help and for the city and county working together. I mean, just those days are not, I'm not here any longer.
No, it's $40 million.
Right.
I mean, we're talking $40 million. That's a big chunk of change. It was $21 million, I think, when I was elected in 2014. So in an 8-year period, it's nearly doubled in price.
But I know the city was very proud of the fact that it built Pinyon Hills Boulevard and paid for it on its own back in the day when I think tax revenues were higher and things were a little different in the city. And my point is just that these days, because that money isn't there any longer, it takes cooperation from the county and the city and the state and the feds to do a project of this magnitude.
Well, it certainly helps, Scott. I mean, $40 million
for
any city.
I don't have to pay for it out of my
local
dollars.
Any city in New Mexico is going to have a real hard time.
Sure.
Ponying up $40 million out of its tax base to build a 3-mile road.
I agree with you.
So, I mean, what has really changed more dramatically is the fact that it was a $2 million project in 1999, and it's a $40 million project now. Same bridge, same asphalt,
right?
Same everything.
It's not any wider,
yeah,
really.
It's the same, same stuff, yeah. But now because, you know, obviously what we've seen in inflation, those changes have definitely impacted the price of everything that we do.
Sure.
Pinyon Hills Golf Course, you know, that's a great example. Pinyon Hills Golf Course, I think, was built for, again, it was like $2 million or something. You know, the renovation that we're doing out there now is a $10 million renovation. And it's just interesting to see the scope and how money has changed.
Right, right. And I just want to make a point. I know there are probably people listening to us this morning of what I just said about that my tax dollars aren't going to that project, my local tax dollars. But, I mean, any money, state, federal, is from the taxpayer. I understand that everyone 100%. Is helping to support this project. It just shows what everyone can do when everyone kind of works together.
Or maybe it's just printed money. We don't know.
Well, there you go. There's that too.
There seems to be a lot of flow of money out there.
That is true. But it's nice to see it being used maybe in this manner that's going to generate some additional investment, as you mentioned, residential, commercial, in the community, and that will help everyone.
We'd need that, right? I mean, in any situation where you're looking at a community that's facing the challenges that we faced here over this past decade and are becoming obviously more apparent now, you need to have those areas where other companies can come in and they can see what's going on and they want to be a part of that story and develop those areas. So And we've got a number of other developments happening around the city that where there's been more peaked interest for housing developments, things of that nature. As we've kind of seen the Four Corners area in general, kind of our greater regional economy continue to grow.
Right. I want to talk a little bit about another thing that the city, I think, has been very helpful in, and that is creating a kind of a new festival, a new gathering, the Four Corners Balloon Rally, which was back again after a long absence. I think maybe some of the old timers can remember when there was a balloon rally at Farmington Lake back at, I think, part of Memorial Day weekend in early summer. And now the city has brought it back late summer, end of September. Seemed to be a very successful weekend. What are your thoughts from the city standpoint?
Well, I just want to thank the individuals who continue to push that we needed to bring that back. There was a few very outspoken people that just kept knocking on my door saying, I really think this is something that would be great for, you know, our community. And sure enough, I mean, the whole weekend the balloons were flying in the air, you just had this general sense of positivity from everybody in the city. It was great. And so to be able to have, you know, the balloon mass ascents from Lake Farmington, which were successful, I think, Friday morning and Saturday morning. Unfortunately, Sunday, when we had the biggest crowd out there, the winds were too high.
But right.
Those things happen.
That's ballooning.
The balloon glow that took place here at San Juan College was a huge, I mean, it was just so, I was so impressed. And then, of course, we had the concert at Ricketts with the Guess Who.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the Guess Who, American Woman, I mean, we're talking some really great classic. And I didn't realize they're from Canada. I did my own little Guess Who research, you know, after finding out they were coming here. These guys rocked. I mean, they are still top of the line in entertainment and did a fantastic job, which for us, that was kind of a test run to see whether or not Ricketts Park, which as we've seen it develop, you know, over the last few decades, it's really a stadium. And so there's, we want to include some stadium type events there. And, you know, kind of the thinking right now is maybe after Connie Mack is over, right? Because what we're really concerned about anytime we do anything other than baseball on that field is the turf.
Sure, of course.
So after Connie Mack is over, you've got basically from, you know, the early part of August all the way until March of the next year where that field is not being used. So if we could throw, you know, a couple of quality bands out there, I think it would be a really good thing for this community. So you'll see the balloon rally grow in that sense. Mm-hmm. We want to sell t-shirts. I mean, people were wanting all the t-shirts that the volunteers were wearing. So you can just tell it's going to be a really good event. And, you know, New Mexico's known for its the balloons.
Sure.
So we'll be able to tie into that and kick off fall, which is the best time, in my opinion, here in the city. It was pretty special.
Well, and the timing, I think, again, to have it the week before the big international balloon rally in Albuquerque doesn't hurt to have balloonists already thinking about coming to New Mexico.
Yeah.
Why don't they just come a week early and stop by Farmington and put on a show for folks here?
Well, I want to thank Doug Lindbergh, who's the Balloonmeister, who helps facilitate all the pilots and all those balloonists. And I mean, we had balloonists here from Wisconsin, who, of course, then you know, went down to Albuquerque.
Sure.
And even when Doug got to the balloon rally in Albuquerque, he told me the first day he had five balloonists come and say, why didn't you tell me that you guys were doing this in Farmington? I want to be a part of that. So
next year, bigger and better?
That's always the goal.
All right.
Always the goal.
All right. Very good. Well, and again, it's things that the city can do to create community, to promote investment maybe in the community by others, and just, again, remind us of why this is such a great place to live.
Well, you get the question a lot. We had the Women's Professional Summit last week,
which
was a great event also at the
Chamber
Civic Center.
Commerce.
And the questions were asked. Tanya Stinson and I were able to kind of sit there and tell the story of why we went into this diversification effort, how the Jolt Your Journey branding came along. And the question was, why try and diversify? Well, you're doing that. Or what does the city do, you know, in trying to motivate people to choose to live here? And I just made the statement, people choose to live where they live for various reasons. And I think a core component of those is, is it a safe city? Does it have great schools? Does the city care about its cleanliness? I mean, Scott, one of the things I've really been focused on since I've been mayor is making sure that we are addressing graffiti immediately, that the trash cleanup is done immediately. I want to thank city staff, by the way, and Rob Mays for taking all those calls for me. But I think if you live in a place that's clean and it's you know, people, it makes you feel better about where you live. And the city and all the efforts and things that we're trying to do, it is to build that mindset that I live in a great place. I want to promote this great place. I want to open a business. I want to, you know, do these things in this great place. And that's certainly our goal.
Sure. Well, and it shows that a community cares.
Yeah, they do.
If they're fixing things, cleaning up, cleaning off graffiti, fixing broken windows, helping property owners to do that as well. I think that's important as well.
Oh, absolutely. And look, and it's a big job, and I just encourage people when you see things that are out of place, that look wrong, you've got concerns about. There are people there, elected officials who've been hired, and also phone numbers on a city website that you can get access to and report these kind of things. But if we don't report it, then we can't fix it. And we definitely don't want things that fester. And I'll tell you one just briefly, because this has been coming up a lot lately, is the conditions of Main Street. And I think it's important for your viewers, listeners to know, Main Street is a state highway. And so we have to work with the state when it comes to the maintenance and putting down new pavement and fixing potholes and all those kind of things. Those have to go through the state DOT. We have done work for them and will continue to do work, and then we bill them. But right now, the spidering and the potholes and all the things that are going on Main, we've been beating on their door. We need them to ante up some money and get this stuff done. So in spring of next year, they have told us that from English Road to Country Club, that will all be repaved. Now, that doesn't address the stuff going up towards Browning, but that's a portion of it, at least, that they've said that they've committed to in a public meeting.
Okay.
So we're going to hold them accountable for that.
Very good. But that is important, I think, to recognize that not every street in the city is city maintained.
Right.
Some of that is like US 64, New Mexico 516. These are other highways that have other people that take care of them, supposedly.
La Plata Highway.
Right.
Yep. I mean, those are the big three.
That you hear about, I bet.
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure.
So.
I understand. I've broken my windshield three times now this year from rocks on roads. So,
well, I bet you should call your insurance agent.
I know that guy.
I bet you do. Yeah. I bet you do, Mr. Mayor. Probably have pretty good coverage too.
It's a $50 deductible.
Okay.
Scott. Yeah. I don't think my insurance company is going to be happy though replacing three.
Not three times. Yeah. Probably not. But there you go, Mr. Mayor. I always appreciate your time. You always answer my call and come in when I ask you to do that. I appreciate that very much. And you're welcome back anytime. I'm sure you know that.
Scott, your support for this community it's great. And I think your show is fantastic. And I just appreciate always being able to come here and be interviewed by the greatest.
Well,
the best.
Kind of you to say, yeah. Mr. Mayor. And you're not running for anything. So I appreciate that. So thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
We'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Mayor Nate Duggett, my guest here on KSJE.
KSJE and San Juan College present the Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week. Week 9, it's all about study. Knowing how to read a textbook, take notes in class, and use the library are all areas that will help you be more successful in the classroom. Setting up specific times in a day or during the week to study primes your brain by creating a routine, and over time, studying actually becomes easier as your brain is trained to learn in these moments. Research shows that having a designated spot for study that is well equipped with every tool you might need is best, as this too primes your brain for studying. Occasionally, college professors will tell you the information that will or won't be on an exam. Listen to them. They're sharing this information with you to save you time so you're not studying the wrong information for hours, and you can focus on the important points. If you're unsure about what to focus on while studying, send your professor a quick email to confirm or speak with him or her after class. The Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week, presented by KSJE and the Student Achievement Center at San Juan College. KSJE is supported by Aztec Motocross. Located on Highway 173, Aztec Motocross offers a safe and competitive racing environment for the growing off-road and outdoor industry. Upcoming racing weekends, September 24th and 25th, and October 22nd and 23rd. Also, the New Mexico State Championship Motocross Race Series, October 8th and 9th. Find out more online at aztecmotocross.com or 505-393-5222. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.